man fell in a hole. The hole represents sin. We're all born in that hole. And in addition to the testimony of the Word of God, which says that we are sinful, there is also insurmountable evidence of despicable human actions over millennia of human history that strongly suggest, you could even say prove, that we are born in that hole and live in that hole. Pretending that the hole doesn't exist doesn't get us out of it. Thinking positively doesn't get us out of it. Inventing new realities doesn't get us out of it. Changing our habits, even implementing religious habits, doesn't get us out of it. Only someone who is above it can get us out of it. This week, we're looking more specifically at the third of seven reasons that Jesus rose from the dead that we looked at on Easter Sunday. And reason number three is so we can be saved. Romans 5, verse 10 says, "For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life." It's not just the death of Jesus that provides our complete salvation. It's his life, his rising from the dead. If he had merely died, he could not pull us out of that hole. But he was born out of the grave. He rose from the dead for us so that we can actually be saved from sin. He lived this life in spite of this sinful world around him, and he overcame it. And that is proven by his resurrection. Now, being saved doesn't mean that we just pretend our sin doesn't exist, although God does forget our sin and calls us to leave it behind. Being saved doesn't just mean we think positively or differently, although God's thoughts are higher than ours and he calls us to renew our minds. Being saved doesn't mean we invent some sort of new reality. It means we enter into true reality, God's reality. Being saved doesn't just mean changing our habits, although Christ lived a different life and calls us to do the same, to die to sin and reflect a life in which that reality is true. So being saved is a total paradigm shift. It is a complete transformation with all of these various implications. Now, we appreciate package deals, don't we? We've even come to expect them. After all, this is America. Last week, I ordered an Amazon Fire Stick so I can stream all kinds of shows that I don't have time to watch. But I didn't just get the Fire Stick. I got the remote so I can actually use the Fire Stick. I got the power cord. You kind of need that. And I even got this short extension so that if the Fire Stick doesn't line up with the HDMI port on the back of the TV, then it can just kind of hang there at whatever angle it needs to. It came as a package deal. There's nothing else I need. I didn't assemble that package. Amazon did. It was all ready to go for me. So I have everything I need. Well, for the Fire Stick. God created a package deal for us before the foundation of the world because he knew the hole we would find ourselves in. He knew how to save us from it, and he knew all of the difficulties we would be presented with as we live outside that hole in a world where others are still living in that hole. Creates an interesting mental picture, doesn't it? Last week we looked at justification. And that's a very distinct and important part of our salvation, but it is also only one aspect of our salvation. It's the beginning, but there's more. Now, there are probably 100 different ways we can use different words to sort of outline and summarize this package of salvation that has been created and assembled by our very wise and very generous God, but today I want to present three points about the way the Bible talks about our salvation in the past tense, the present tense, and the future tense to help us see this whole package. Now, I'm going to present each of these points more or less in pairs to show how both the death and the resurrection of Christ are instrumental in each of them. Because after all, the point of this series is to help us focus on the resurrection of Christ and to celebrate its significance. Now, I have a lot of different verses that I'm going to go through in the midst of these 3 points, and Bruce saw my list, and he's like, well, man, I should just upload the whole Bible. So thank you, Bruce, for doing your best to keep up with all this. So first of all, we're going to start out with the past tense of salvation. There are places where you see the Bible uses the word save in the past tense. 2 Timothy 1:9 is one example. Talking about Christ, it says, who saved us, past tense, and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. So we see the word save used in past tense, and we see how far back in the past that actually goes. Romans 8:24. Just the first part of the verse, this is just another of many examples where salvation is used past tense. For in this hope we were saved. Okay, so Paul is talking about salvation in the past tense as if it is something that happened at some point in your past. You were saved from the penalty of sin by the death of Jesus. Now, being saved is not just about being saved from something. It is about being saved to or into something at the same time, something else. So at the same time you were saved from the penalty of sin, which is eternal punishment, you were also given gifts of God. So a penalty was removed and gifts were given. We were saved into right standing with God by the resurrection of Christ. We were justified, given his righteousness. This is all past tense. There's a few more verses that show this past tense aspect of our salvation and some of the elements that are past tense. Romans 8, 29 and 30. Romans 8, 29 and 30. There's a lot going on in these verses here. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. Okay, a lot of past tense realities there. Things that have already been a reality in our salvation. 1 Corinthians 6:11. In 1 Corinthians 6, Paul is listing a number of different sins for which we deserve eternal punishment. But in chapter 6, verse 11, he says, and such were some of you, past tense, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. More past tense aspects of our salvation. Hebrews chapter 10. We looked at some of this last week. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10, it says, and this is speaking of the will of God, and by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Okay, it's talking about sanctification as a past tense reality. And yet, read verse 14 of Hebrews chapter 10. It says, speaking of Christ's death, for by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. What in the world is going on here? There's all these past tense words, and then there's this present tense stuff. What's going on here? Well, we see that God has foreknown us, predestined us, called us, justified us, washed us, sanctified us, perfected us, and those are past tense realities. But you might also have noticed that there are certain words here that are used in the past tense in some places and present tense in other places. The word sanctify, for example. Now, this is where we find the word salvation and the word sanctification have a certain amount of overlap in their meaning and in the way they are used. But there are times sanctification is past tense, okay? And that's in the sense that you have already been given the righteousness of God as a gift. You are already set apart for special use by God. And that is the sense in which you are already washed from your sins. You are already perfected because of Christ's offering and resurrection for you. That is how God sees you. That is your new status. But sanctification is also present tense in the sense that we are in this process of being purified on a practical level from our sinful ways and becoming more like Christ. We'll cover more on that in the next point, looking at the present tense aspects of salvation. But before we get there, a couple other observations in a couple of these verses I read. It's interesting that Romans 8, verse 30 speaks of glorification as a past tense reality. Those he justified, he also glorified. Past tense. Now, we almost always think of that one as exclusively a future thing. This glorification is something that happens in heaven when we or when our bodies are resurrected or in the new earth that Christ will create and so on. But the biblical reality is that it is partly a past tense and a present tense reality as well. We experience this one level of glorification when we were given God's righteousness, when we were justified. And we also experience some of God's glory now as we have all of the spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, as Ephesians 1 states. But if you look at 2 Corinthians 3:18, I think it lays this out quite clearly for us. 2 Corinthians 3:18, Paul says, "And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." So this is the sense in which Paul speaks of glorification as a present tense reality. We are being transformed into the image of our Savior. Now, if you're honest, maybe some days you feel like that's not really true in your life, like you haven't experienced that. You maybe even wonder, well, is God holding out on me somehow? Why haven't I made this progress? Well, he's not holding out on you. And maybe it's time to step up your spiritual life a notch or two. Maybe it's time to embrace the life God is offering you. Being saved is not just something that happened to you in the past. It is not just a sinner's prayer or an altar call or whatever other occasion on which you ask for forgiveness of your sins and you were justified, but there's a lot more to salvation than that. So let's move on to the next point here, present tense. Take a look, first of all, at 1 Corinthians 1:18. I'll share two verses in which we just generally see this present tense continual aspect of salvation. Paul says, "For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." So Paul is speaking to people who are already Christians, to us who are being saved. And so that is a past tense reality with continuing implications in the present, are being saved. 1 Corinthians 15:2, we see this present tense form used again. Paul says, "And by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain." So we see this present tense, we are saved from the power of sin by the death of Christ, and we are saved into this state of having power over sin by his resurrection. So this is present tense. We overcome sin in this life because Christ overcame sin in this life. He gives us the power to do this. So this is the sense in which salvation is present tense. This is also the sense in which sanctification is part of our salvation is present tense. Now, this present tense wording, at least this was my initial impression when I was a teenager and I was beginning to grow more in my faith and read scripture more, I came across this and I thought, well, it says we are being saved. You mean I'm not saved yet? What's going on here? Well, this wording makes it sound like our salvation is not complete, but that's not the case. It is a past tense reality with continuing implications. So in that sense, we are not yet completely saved. We are saved because by faith we are in the kingdom of God. Our spiritual destiny is sealed, but yet we are a work in progress. So please understand what this does and does not mean. This is in the sense that God is not finished with us yet. This does not mean that you are not completely right with God. This does not mean there is some remaining chance that you won't make it to heaven. This does not mean God is still not sure if he's going to let you into his kingdom or not. That's not what this means when Paul says we are being saved. Your heavenly destiny is sealed because you have the righteousness of Christ on your account. That's something that you either have or don't have. And if you believe in Christ, you have it. No question. That seals your destiny in the kingdom. But on a practical level, we all still have some growing to do so we can reflect the righteousness that has been given to us. And so that's the sense in which our salvation is an ongoing process. As we surrender our sinful desires and our desires come more and more into alignment with the will of God. Philippians 2, 12 and 13. Philippians 2, 12 and 13, Paul says, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence," here's the kicker, "work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure." Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That does not mean your salvation is by works. We're saved by grace alone. But there is this sense in which your salvation takes some work on your part. My salvation takes some work on my part. That part is sanctification. We work on becoming pure and yielding our lives to God out of a very deep reverence for him, fear and trembling, knowing that he does discipline us. But as we grow, we experience God's blessings. Remember, we have all the spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ. Think about that. If God only blessed you and I in proportion to the reverence that we show for him, what level of blessing would we actually receive? Good thing he blesses us more than we deserve, right? 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Paul says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." We all have untapped potential in Christ, and that's not blind optimism. The Bible says it. Paul's prayer for the church is that God would sanctify her completely through every dimension of every individual, spirit, soul, and body. And Paul is praying a prayer that is in alignment with God's will. It is God's will that we continue this process of sanctification, becoming more pure, not to earn salvation, but to live in a new life that we have already received, a salvation that is real. If we committed to that, where would that take us? Where would that take us? Let's process that this week. So we've looked at past tense, we've looked at present tense, and now there is future tense. We see another way that this verb saved, save, is being used. In 1 Corinthians 3:15, Paul says, "If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire." So here we see the word save being used in future tense. speaking of another aspect of our salvation that is yet future. Hebrews 9:28, we see this again. So Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. Future aspect. Romans 5:9. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. Romans 8:17. Here we see another future usage. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. So here we see the future tense of our salvation. We will be saved from the presence of sin by his death, and we are saved into glory, full glorification by the power of his resurrection. We leave this world will be destroyed, and we do not enter a world of nothingness. We enter a world where goodness and virtue are tangible realities in every way. We will be transformed into a glorious state, enter a new phase of eternity in a glorious realm. And so glorification means we fully possess, we fully reflect the nature of Christ as we were made to. Now, this is something we will talk about more when we talk about the resurrection of the body here next week or the week after. But the point is, we see the word save, our salvation, used in past tense and present tense and in future tense because God has created a package deal for his people. Everything we need. We were saved from the penalty of sin by his death, and we were saved into God's righteousness, the gift of God's righteousness by the resurrection of Christ. That is past tense reality, but it is still true. We are being saved, present tense, we are being saved from the power of sin by his death. We are dying to sin, and we are being saved into this process of purification, sanctification by the power of his resurrection in this journey to overcome sin. So that is the present tense aspect of salvation. And then the future tense, we will be saved from the presence of sin. We will be saved into complete glorification in the future. And Christ's resurrection guarantees that for us. So I hope you see, looking at the use of these words in Scripture, salvation, past tense reality with current implications, with future implications, because God has given us everything we need. Salvation is something we look back on, has happened in our past. Salvation is something that is a current process. And salvation is also something that will happen in the future, something we look forward to. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, you are wise beyond a level that we can comprehend. And you are loving beyond comprehension. And Lord, in your unconditional love and in your infinite wisdom, you have created this whole package of our salvation so that we can find all of our life in you, so that your grace can be sufficient for us in this life. Lord, I pray that this generous gift of yours would overwhelm us in a fresh way. I pray that we would see, that our eyes would be opened as we continue reading your word this week. We would see these aspects of our salvation jumping off the pages at us and prodding us, inspiring us, leading us to continue in this journey that we are on, of enjoying a salvation that we have, but continuing to be saved from the sinfulness that remains in us and looking forward to a time when we will be completely saved in every way from all of it. Jesus, thank you for dying the death that you died and for rising from the dead for us so that we can experience this full package of your salvation. In your amazing, precious, holy name we pray. Amen.